begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by sending blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him and all his companions, his family members, and may we all be blessed as well. Ameen. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, we are very fortunate to be sitting in this house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at this blessed moment. And we need to know that we are Muslimin, which means we submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The term Islam refers to two main items, two main issues. The first is that we submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second is the term peace is also from that word salam. So a person who submits and surrenders to the will of the Creator is the one who will receive and achieve peace. We have never ever been promised that in this world you get what you want. No one has ever said that. Allah did not say that, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This life that we are in right now is a test from our Maker. He has made us, He has created us. And it is a test from Him to see how we live this life. And this is why everything we do should conform to what He has taught. We cannot say that I'm a Muslim, but I'm only a partial Muslim. I'm a Muslim, but only when I go to the masjid, I will, you know, pretend to be a Muslim, or I will put my head on the ground. No, it is not solely whilst we are in the places of worship. Rather, we will surrender throughout our 24/7. Every minute of the day we are Muslims. When we are honest, we need to know it is the Almighty who has asked us to be honest. And when we are honest, we will find that different departments of our lives will become much easier than everybody. Honesty and hard working, these are qualities of a person who surrenders to the command of Allah. We cannot say when I come in the masjid I will be honest, when I come in the masjid I will be charitable, when I go to sit to listen to an Islamic lecture I will be okay, when I hold the Quran in my hand I will be from amongst those who surrenders to Allah's command. We cannot say that. We need to make sure that whatever we do, the intention is to please the Almighty. And this is why I want to raise something very intimate and very, very important. One day the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was explaining to them that it is a charity to do this and a charity to do that and a charity to do this, you know, to smile at someone's face is an act of charity, which means when I smile at you, I can smile at you because I know you. MashaAllah, I recognize a few faces in the crowd. I can smile at you because I know you. But I can smile at you in order to create that harmony that Allah would like me to create, so that we can have a beautiful family of Muslimin, whether I know you or not, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That makes me a Muslim, and it is so easy to follow that rule of Islam. The same applies everything I do. When we are crossing the road and we are considerate as a driver, we find someone crossing the road, we are considerate of that person, especially here, mashallah, in Colombo, I notice you have to drive very, very carefully. I don't think I would be able to last 5 minutes here. But whilst someone is crossing the road, if you have to pause for a moment to allow them to cross, if your intention is because, you know what, this person must think I'm good, then you are missing the whole idea. The intention should be, my Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has instructed me to be good. And I have to be considerate of someone. When we are buying and selling, to be considerate of one another is part and parcel of being a good Muslim. So if I see someone walking into my shop, and this happened to me a few days ago,
where a person walked in before me, he asked the price of something and they told him one thing. When I walked in a little bit later, for some reason they gave me a higher price. MashaAllah. How do you think I felt? Is that a quality of a Muslim? The answer is no. So we can convert that to an act of worship by being considerate of those who have walked in when we are buying and selling. And this is a hadith. رحم الله امرئ سمحا إذا باع سمحا إذا اشترى سمحا إذا اقتضى. This hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Allah has mercy on the one who is considerate of the buyer when selling, and the one who is considerate of the seller when buying, and the judge who is considerate of the condition of the one whom he is ruling for or against. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us people who are blessed. So it is important for myself and yourselves to know that me being a Muslim, when we say we need to make time for our faith and our deen and our religion in our busy lives, the reality is being busy in life can automatically be converted into acts of worship if we rectify our intention. Like I said, crossing the road, we say, this is for the sake of Allah, I am stopping. You know, I have given this example in the past and I wish to give it again, that when some of the non-Muslims do a good deed, they are quick to remind you of their faith. Why don't we do that as well? You know, when we do a good deed, say, no, I'm a Muslim. Islam teaches this, mashallah. Make a noise about it. In the sense, make it known that we are Muslim. Even if you look very clearly like a Muslim, but repeat it. We are not saying to add salt to injury, no. But to make it clear that, look, we are also taught something grand. Some people out there who are not Muslimin, they think that Islam has no good teachings. Islam only teaches you come to the masjid and read a salah which you don't understand and go out and just do things which you don't know, and then when you are outside you can do as you wish, and whenever there is goodness, it is secular goodness, which means if you are taught to be courteous, it is because you learnt at school, and if you are taught to be, you know, good-hearted, it's because someone taught you maybe at your workplace and so on. The answer to that is no. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the source of goodness that came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And wallahi, he has not left a single department of goodness except that he has taught it to us. And he has not forgotten a single bit of evil except that he warned us about it. مَا تَرَكَ خَيْرًا إِلَّا وَدَلَّنَا عَلَيْهِ وَلَا شَرًّا إِلَّا حَذَّرَنَا مِنْهُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has not left a single point of goodness except that he taught it to us. I was mentioning this hadith, I have not yet completed it, where he spoke about, he says, وَفِي بُضْعِ أَحَدِكُمْ صَدَقَةً. He says, for you to fulfill your sexual needs or intimate needs with your wife is an act of charity. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. It's an act of charity. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhu were amazed, as some of you might be right now, that Ya Rasulullah, أَيَأْتِ أَحَدُنَا شَهْوَتَهُ وَيَكُونُ لَهُ فِي ذَلِكَ أَجْرٌ. One of us fulfills his base desire and he is rewarded for that. Look at the beautiful answer of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, أَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ وَضَعَهَا فِي حَرَامٍ أَكَانَ عَلَيْهِ وِزْرٌ. Do you see if this person fulfilled that desire in a haram place and in a haram manner, would they receive a sin because of that? The Sahaba said, yes indeed. They would receive a sin because they have fulfilled their base desires in a wrong way. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, well, then when they do it, or if they were to do it correctly, they definitely will receive a reward for it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. So the issue of receiving reward and the issue of being a Muslim and the issue of having time for your faith is something that we need to understand on a broader scale and not to narrow it to the masjid or when we go to Hajj, when we go for Umrah. You know, sometimes some of the sisters, they will go for Umrah or Hajj and they will dress so beautifully in the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as they return, mashallah, you find that slowly, you know, the hair begins to show and then it goes on to the shoulder, and after that it's not even on the shoulder. Allahu Akbar. And you ask them sometimes, or some people may have the courage to ask and say, my sister, what happened? She will tell you, no, I was in Makkah. So what? You think that Allah in Makkah is a different Allah from the one here in Colombo? The answer is, it's the same Allah. The instruction is the same. Allah gives us opportunities to listen to goodness, to be in a more spiritual place, to pass through a spiritual time. Some people in the month of Ramadan, they read lots of Quran. The day Eid is announced, the Quran is closed on the shelf, it collects dust. When the moon is being sighted the following year, they start to wipe the Quran to say, bring out my Quran again, I want to read. Is that Islam? Is that what we are taught? If that is the case, we would be joining the ranks of the Christians who do not read the Bible cover to cover. Did you know that 99% of the Christians, including some of the clergy and some of the religious people, they have never read the Bible cover to cover? No. We are Muslims. Allah has made it an act of worship to do what is known as a khatmah, to complete from the beginning to the end. So we need to make sure that we set aside a time every day to read even one verse of the Quran and understand what it's saying. It is our farad. Life will continue. Life will continue. We will be living for as long as our life is written. And when we die, the others will continue. They will bury us and carry on. What did we achieve from this life? If I am going to say from tomorrow I will start, that is not a good answer. I need to start now. I need to make an intention now. Usually you will hear the ulama say that the environment inside the masjid is so electrifying and spiritual. If you want to make an intention, make it now. Because the minute you walk out of the door, the environment is no longer as spiritual. We are sitting in a moment of Jumu'ah. We are sitting in a moment of spirituality. I call on all those who are listening to me today. Let us make an intention here and now. I want to make more time to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there are two acts of worship, or two types of acts of worship that generally we would look at. One, those acts of worship we consider directly between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without a third party being involved, such as salah, this act of prayer that we have. When we read the Quran, mashallah, it's between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then there are those acts of worship where a third party is connected, like when we are dealing with someone, when we are speaking to someone. We abstain from swear words, that makes us a good Muslim. We speak well with our spouses and children and smile and make the home a warm home, instead of engaging in all forms of sin and coming to the house as though we are lions and letting, you know, everyone feel so oppressed in the home. That is not good. We'd rather be from those who make the home a beautiful home. That is an ibadah. So there are certain acts of worship where there is a third party involved. Those are the majority of acts of worship. But there are some acts of worship which are only between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also need to make time for that. And this is why today, if you notice, I am here saying that some people have misunderstood the deen, and they think that deen is only that part which is directly connected between you and Allah. So if I'm reading Quran, I'm a good Muslim. If I'm fulfilling my salah, I'm a good Muslim. If I have dressed appropriately, I'm a good Muslim. If I have, you know, my outlook is Islamic, I'm a good Muslim. That is not only what it is. That is very, very important. Yes, no doubt. That is a part of the deen, no doubt. But that is not the only part that makes us Muslimin. And if we think it's the only thing, then we have deleted so much of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And now if I spend 2-3 moments highlighting to you what we actually do during the day. You know, and I have said this several times in recent lectures, some of you who might be following may have heard this. In our lives, what do we do? We get up early in the morning, and we go out to work, and we work from about 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock. I think it's a similar system here. And we are working from 8 to 5, doing what? We would go to work and listen to the instructions of our bosses, and if we have our own business, we will be instructing others. And we will be thinking of a plan of either how to get a promotion so that we can have a better salary, or how to expand our business. That's our whole day. We are thinking of how to expand our business, or how to get promotion, how to please our bosses, and how to come into the eye so that we can have a better salary. But we don't realize that working from 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock, the money I will get is only enough for me to enjoy between 5 o'clock and the following 8 o'clock. Allahu Akbar. Because after that I need to go back and work. So we are working from 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock in order to live from 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock. And like I've added in the past, I say, and perhaps on Saturday you might get, you know, half day off, and Sunday you will get full day off. So I work the whole week in order to enjoy 1.5 days. And you know what? Between 5 and 8, half of the time we are sleeping. So look at how much sacrifice we are ready to make in order to get a better salary and to live a slightly more comfortable life. In order to be able to buy the latest cell phone, and in order to be able to have an iPad and a good vehicle and a nice house and some good clothing and a watch and so on, we are ready to work very hard. And we call our boss, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. He tells you, please go there and come back 3 times. I will increase your salary. Say, sir, I will do it 6 times. You can increase my salary. MashaAllah. And yet when it comes to the life after death, we have not yet prepared for it. We cannot spend. Allah is not saying 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock. No. Allah is saying 5 times a day, 8 minutes only. SubhanAllah. Still we don't have that. And early morning before you leave for work, look at how ironic it is. We are ready to wake up 10 minutes after sunrise in order to go and work to say yes sir for the rest of the day. But we cannot wake up 10 minutes earlier in order to say, yes my creator, yes my maker, I am here. Allahu Akbar. So this is the forgetfulness that shaitan allows to creep into the mind of man because he has a life. كَلَّا بَلْ تُحِبُّونَ الْعَاجِلَةَ وَتَذَرُونَ الْآخِرَةَ. The Quran warns us about how mankind generally tends to love that which is in front of him, which he can hold, which he can see, and he forgets the akhirah. Like we said, we have been promised so much. When are we going to see it? You have some youngsters coming and saying, you know, I want this and I want that. You call a young boy, I want to give you a prize. What can I give you? Do you think most of the boys would say, I want one Quran, brother? Or I want, dad, I need one Quran. Allahu Akbar. If your son or child has given you that answer, good news to you. But most of them will say, I need a car, I need a toy, I need a this, I need a game, I need a PlayStation, I want iPhone, I want iPod. These are the answers you get, mashallah. That is quite normal because that's what they can see. If they knew and we knew what is waiting for us in the akhirah, we would say, don't worry about all this. Buy me one musalla and buy me Quran. I want to prepare for the biggest of gifts in the akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our doors. That having been said, remember one thing. Allah is so merciful. He has kept us in this life in such a way that we should not divorce ourselves, and we cannot divorce ourselves from the dunya because we need to live in it. And this is why there is a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ used to make a dua, and he used to say, Allahumma aslih li dini alladhi huwa usmatu amri. Oh Allah, purify for me, make good for me my deen, which is the main core of my entire matter or affair, my whole life. It is the main issue, my deen. My religion, the main issue. So purify it for me, make it easy for me. وَأَصْلِحْ لِي دُنْيَايَ الَّتِي فِيهَا مَعَاشِ. And oh Allah, purify for me my dunya, my life, the world that is around me, because I have to live in it. وَأَصْلِحْ لِي آخِرَتِيَ الَّتِي إِلَيْهَا مَعَادِي. And oh Allah, rectify and purify for me my life after death, because I am going to return there ultimately forever. That dua is so beautiful, it reminds us of all three aspects. The first aspect is that we always primarily need to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the primary aim. If there is anything we are doing that is in the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, leave it. It's not good for you. There are people who go out to the casinos. It's not good for you. There are people committing adultery. They cannot leave it. Wallahi, it will not help you neither in this world nor in the next. If we are doing it in this world, it is going to result in tension and stress and sickness and problems. And you may lose a wife who is a brilliant person with children who are brilliant children. And you might cause so much turmoil and turbulence solely because you cannot control your base desires and you are committing adultery. So leave it. If it is in the displeasure of Allah, throw it out of the window. Believe me, there is greater pleasure pleasure in pleasing Allah than there is in displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are some who commit adultery, some who cannot leave the bottle of alcohol. I was listening to the news last night. They said there were some people in India who had made some alcohol and they brewed it, they were drinking it, and they died as a result. More than 140 people died. I'm sure you might have seen the news, or you might have heard it. If that is the case, tell me, could a good Muslim have died in that way? The answer is no. What was he doing drinking? The question. So I was listening that there are some non-Muslims on that occasion who were being interviewed, who said, we will never drink again and we will never allow our children to drink. And I was thinking to myself, look, after Allah shows them death in their eyes, they have now made this decision. How lucky are we? From the beginning the decision is already made. But still you find weak Muslims who end up having bad habits. Let's work on it. That is called making time for your faith, for your religion. Because as we said, life continues. Wal asri, innal insana lafi khusr, illa alladhina amanu wa amilu ssalihati, wa tawasaw bil haqqi, wa tawasaw bis sabr. One of the shortest surahs in the Quran, but one of the most powerful, where Allah is taking an oath by the token of time. And He says, man is at loss. We are all at loss. We are losing. Imagine if I were to die right now. What have I done that would make me proud of my meeting with my Maker? What have I done that would make me look forward to the meeting with my Maker? This is why Allah says in the Quran, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Whoever is looking forward to the meeting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they need to prepare by doing two things. If you are looking forward to meeting your Maker, you need to prepare by doing two things. Do good deeds and do not associate partnership with your Maker. Those are the two things you need to do. So the term good deeds, all of that which is good deeds, is part and parcel of what a Muslim is taught and part and parcel of what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has brought. If you look at the tafsir of these verses, you will find in it that عَمَلًا صَالِحًا means that which was taught by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There you are. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us that way. So we have a life, we have to lead this life in a way that we don't suffer the loss that is being made mention of in Surah Al-Asr. Because Allah says there is an exception. What is the exception? إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. The only people who are not at loss are those who believe firmly. And you know the pillars of belief. When we say آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, and so on. We know that we believe in al-ba'th as well, the life after death. Once we believe and do good deeds, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that is not enough still. Part of doing good deeds is to convey the message to others. تَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. To encourage one another regarding the truth, and to encourage one another to persevere. It's not very easy. As I started, I said, Allah has not promised us that you will have what you want in this world. He has not promised us that you will have good health in this world. Nor did He say you will have lots of wealth in this world. Nor did He say you will be able to do what you want and have what you want. He did not say that for this world. If that was the case, there would be no purpose for a life after death and a Jannah. Because Jannah has its own khususiyah. It has its own speciality. That speciality is, you will only get everything you want in Jannah. If we had got it here, someone would say, well, what's the point of going to Jannah? I've got it here already. So this is why Allah will keep us on different levels. He will test us. The more He loves you, the more He tests you. The greater the test, the greater the examination. The greater the examination, the greater the certificate. The greater the certificate, the higher the qualification. The higher the qualification, the greater the chance of you going into paradise without even reckoning. May Allah make us from those. So do not become despondent because of a few problems. If you have 5, I have 10. If I have 10, the next man has 15. These are the types of difficulties. Concentrate on the positives. This is why we say tawasaw bis sabri. Encourage one another. Remind one another regarding perseverance and patience. We need to continue in the struggle. Some people say, how long should I carry on doing this? The answer is, till forever. Continue till you meet Allah. When you meet Allah, Allah will tell you, now you can stop. I will now give you what you have always wished for. What would you want? Here it is, take it. The problem with man, Allah has identified it in the Quran. We love that which is in front of us. And what we can see. You know, we've given the example the last time I was in Colombo about Salah. That if a person was to read Salah, and for every rak'ah, a gold coin had to drop. We would read 40, 50, 60, 100 rak'ah for Dhuhr alone. Because we would be seeing the gold coins. And you would have business people close their business and just read Salah. Whole day. Because they say, even if I sell so much and I buy so much, I'm not going to get gold coins dropping from the ceiling, you know. But Allah says, if that was the case, what is the point of believing in the unseen? Nothing. So Allah says, we will give you more than those gold coins, but we are holding them for you for later on. Subhanallah. Today a person has bank account, they have a paper to confirm how much money they have. Half the time they have not seen that money, but they know it's there. What if one day it is frozen? May Allah protect us all. All the money is gone. We have papers to confirm, inshallah, that we have a balance with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So make an effort to increase that balance and make an effort that it does not get frozen. When you do something against your country or against, you know, the norms of banking and so on, you will find they might hold that account and freeze it until further notice. May Allah protect us. Something similar would happen to your deeds. You might do a lot of good deeds, but sometimes the reward of it is frozen because you did not understand. Islam instructs you to save yourself from harming someone else. When we harm others, we are not good Muslims. When we save others from harm, we become good Muslims. And it gives us a better chance of making use of the rewards we have achieved through salah and zakah and other deeds. So it's important for us to live by Islam, so that we are not at loss. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our doors. You all know this is a talk of Jumu'ah, which is not very long. I have decided this morning, or should I say this afternoon, to give you this topic in this the way that I have done, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for myself and yourself to ponder over it. It is a huge topic, and if we ponder over the importance of Islam, the importance of how to make time for our faith, we will come to realize that in essence, time itself is supposed to be connected to faith. There is no point in me saying I'm going to take out time in order to be a Muslim. Rather, whilst there is time, T-I-M-E, throughout that time I must be a good Muslim. Remember one thing, develop yourself. Get closer to Allah. The days are numbered. Mine are numbered and so are yours. Anyone who thinks their days are not numbered, they are at loss. They are being deceived. We need to know before we meet Allah, let us change our bad ways. Let us become the better of people. And I am calling on those who have bad habits. May Allah protect us all from bad habits. Let us leave those habits for the pleasure of Allah. To leave one bad habit for the sake of Allah is so rewarding, so big. It will open so many doors. Like we said, those who drink, if they leave it, their doors will be open. The adultery, the gambling, you know, the gossiping, the backbiting, talking about others. Sometimes, you know, before the sickness was only confined to sisters about gossiping. Nowadays, even the brothers, they have perfected the art of gossiping to the degree that the sisters are shy when the brothers begin to gossip. May Allah protect us. So these diseases and sicknesses, we need to save ourselves from this. This is what makes us good Muslimin. Let us love one another for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this way, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will be granted entry into Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open our doors. MashaAllah, I see that there are quite a lot of people here, and everyone has come from their workplaces, and I'm sure many people are returning to work. I'd like to draw one final point from that. How we, during the week, make an effort to come for Salatul Jumu'ah, at least, and I think a lot of people, sometimes they find that they get that time off for Salatul Jumu'ah. We need to know, and we need to ask ourselves a serious question. Is this what I give my deen? Is it only this slot that I give my religion? I know of some people in my part of the world, from the poorer people, who don't even get time for Jumu'ah. And sometimes they might work for a Muslim who tells them, no, I will go, you don't go. A'udhu billah. May Allah safeguard us. We cannot do that. We need to know, just like how I am a Muslim, those who might work for me are also Muslim. I need to give them time as well. But the question is this the only slot we have given Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How many of us have read the Quran this morning? Even one verse. How many? If we haven't, we are not doing good enough. We are not doing good enough. How many of us have visited their parents or phoned them to say, my dear mother, how are you doing? I haven't spoken to you in a while. That is an act of worship. We need to make time for that. If we do not make time for these type of acts of worship, time will overtake us. Time does not wait for anyone. Look at the clock, it's ticking. If you did not change your life today, there is no guarantee you are going to ever change it. And if you did not use this minute, remember it's never going to return. And remember, we become so forgetful that the effort we make for such a small life, short life of 60 years, is far greater than the effort we are making for the entire life after death. What will happen then? At least now I know if my salary is decreased, I can still earn a little bit, and I can still put a plate of food, inshallah, in front of me. What if I don't have anything when I'm in my grave? What if I don't have anything in the life after death? Then what am I going to do? For that reason, let us make time for Allah. Let us make time for the deen. Let us incorporate the deen into our whole life. And then we will find success, not only in one department of our lives, but inshallah in all the departments of our lives. It is, mashallah, the honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, that we are from amongst those who are Muslim, from amongst those who surrender. Let us now live that life as well, so we can complete the circle until we meet again. Sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina.